It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Winter is quickly approaching, and that means turning up the thermostat, turning on the lights sooner, thanks to shorter days, and maybe staying in that hot shower water just a little bit longer. Or at least that's what usually happens when the weather starts to get colder. But with rising energy costs this year, some people are changing how they use energy. It's reminding people of the energy crisis of the 1970s. Let's listen to a clip from President Jimmy Carter. This is in a 1977 speech in his first couple months in office, explaining what Americans ought to do to conserve energy.
We will find out the difference between real shortages and artificial ones. We'll ask private companies to sacrifice, just as private citizens must do. All of us must learn to waste less energy, simply by keeping our thermostats, for instance, at 65 degrees in the daytime and 55 degrees at night, we could save half the current shortage of natural gas. There's no way that I or anyone else in the government can solve our energy problems if you are not willing to help.
Holy cow, 55 degrees at night. No wonder he was famously wearing a sweater sitting next to a fireplace. We asked members of our texting group what they're doing to keep energy consumption down. Wendy in Durand says she sets her gas-powered furnace to as low as 63 degrees at night. Don't tell President Carter. Jean in Champaign says they get out blankets and wear sweaters and jackets around the house. With energy rates rising this winter, it's prompting a lot of people to ask what actually goes into calculating energy rates. How does that translate into your energy bill? And what forms of energy are cheapest? And what can you do to keep your bill low? Joining us now to talk about these questions and more is David Collada, Executive Director of the Citizens Utility Board. Dave, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me on the show.
Also with us is Chip Berry, the Residential Energy Demand Team Lead of the U.S. Energy Information Administration. Chip, welcome to the 21st Show to you, too.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks for having me.
David, I want to start with you. Can you talk about what goes into energy rates in Illinois?
It could be complicated, but at the end of the day, there are two basic types of charges on your bill. There's the cost of delivering the electricity or the natural gas. So you can think of that as the poles and the wires in the case of electricity, or the pipelines in the case of natural gas heat. And then there's the cost of the commodity itself. So the cost of essentially the electricity or the electrons, and then the cost of natural gas. Both of those latter two, the cost of the commodity, tend to be set by markets. And what we've certainly seen here in Illinois over the last little bit is that the cost of delivery has gone up, particularly in the case of natural gas, where our big natural gas utilities have filed rate increases and largely received them. But we've also seen upward pressure on the price of the commodities, electricity and natural gas. And a large part of that, of course, is the Ukraine, the Russian invasion of Ukraine, and just the volatile nature of fossil fuel commodities. And so it's put us in a situation where, in the case of electricity, we're better than a lot of our neighbors when it comes to affordability, but there's still a lot of work to be done. And in the case of natural gas heat, it's looking like it's going to be a very difficult winter for Illinois consumers. So there are some things that we can do, and there's certainly some policies around energy efficiency that can make a big difference. But there's no question that this is a difficult time for Illinois consumers.
Chip, I want to bring you into the conversation. You know, what is it that makes an energy bill high, particularly during the winter months?
So around the country, and particularly in Illinois, your energy bills are driven by three main end uses. First and foremost, it's driven by space heating. Space heating is far and away the biggest driver of energy consumption and what goes into your energy bill. In Illinois, it's about over half of your energy costs are driven by space heating. And then the next biggest in use is water heating. In Illinois, I think it's about 17% of your energy costs are water heating. And then the other space, we call space conditioning component, is air conditioning. And about 8% of your energy costs in Illinois are due to air conditioning. And then the rest is all kinds of gadgets and appliances and things that you plug into your outlets and your cooking. There's a lot of natural gas cooking in Illinois, obviously. But those are the drivers of energy use and energy cost around the country and in Illinois.
So does it make a difference to like turn light switches off if we are not adjusting our thermostats and we're just blasting those BTUs throughout our houses?
Certainly that's good. You're gonna reduce your energy cost somewhat if you take some of those actions, some of those behaviors. But really I'd say the shift, you know, you played the clip of Jimmy Carter and, you know, sitting by the fire in his sweater. But the shift really has been away from actions that conserve energy to more taking advantage of energy efficient technologies. And be that, you know, upcoming rebates for, say, heat pumps, utilities maybe have a rebate for installing or switching out incandescent lights for LED lights. So those are the kind of the actions that are sort of more upfront for consumers now than as opposed to, the message of conserve energy by turning off your lights.
And Chip, we need to take a break in about a minute, but I guess just to set a baseline for when we come back, What is the Energy Information Administration predicting for the upcoming winter, both in terms of consumption and costs?
Sure. So every winter or before the winter starts in early October, we put out what's called the Winter Fuels Outlook. And we use information that comes from our surveys of energy utilities and of households, which is what my expertise is in. And we use that as a baseline and use projections from the National Weather Service for what the weather is going to look like over the winter and what we think prices are going to look like. And we compile a report called the Winter Fuels Outlook. And the current Winter Fuels Outlook, if we break it down by the type of fuel you use to heat your home, and about 80% of the homes in Illinois, 80% of households use natural gas as their main heating fuel. And our projection for this winter is that natural gas cost, what you'll spend for natural gas if you heat with natural gas, your natural gas cost will be about 30% more than it was last winter. And that's partly due to a projected colder winter, but primarily due to about a 25% increase in the price of natural gas. Wow. For electricity, 30% it's less.
Sorry, let's take a pause there. We need to take a break. We're on a fixed clock, unfortunately. We're going to continue this conversation when we come back. If you want to join us, if you have a question about energy usage, maybe lowering your energy bills, switching the form of how you heat your home, for example, 800-222-9455 is the number to join our conversation. 800-222-9455. More to come in just a moment. Stay with us. It's the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about expected energy cost increases this winter. We're talking about this with David Collada, Executive Director of the Citizens Utility Board here in Illinois, and Chip Berry, who's a Residential Energy Demand Team Lead at the U.S. Energy Information Administration. 800-222-9455 if you want to join our conversation. What are you seeing with your energy costs as we're heading into winter? We'd love to hear about it. Have you considered putting in a more efficient form of heating and cooling your home? Well, how did that go? 800-222-9455 is the number to join our conversation. And Chip, I'm sorry I had to interrupt you. You were mentioning before the break a 30% increase in natural gas and then electric rates. What are we expecting to see there?
Yeah, so I do want to clarify. I'm talking just about the Midwest here. We don't, our Winter Fuels Outlook doesn't make projections for specific states. We do it for by region. So I'm talking just about the Midwest.
Good clarification. Thank you. Yeah.
And Illinois is pretty typical of the Midwest in terms of the climate. Kind of sits in the middle of the really cold parts and the warmer parts of the Midwest. Where we left off was before the break was about electricity. And if you're heating with electricity, your main heating source, for your household in Illinois is electricity. And roughly about 15, 16% of households in Illinois use electricity as their main heating fuel. And if you heat with electricity, you can expect your electricity costs this winter to increase by about 8%. That's the latest projection from our winter fuels outlook.
All right. Well, not as bad as the gas side then. Dave Collado, what can people do to help save energy other than setting their thermostat at 55 at night, which I got to say sounds kind of crazy to me, but what would you recommend?
Yeah, well, Chip made a very important point, which is that there have been quite a few technological advances that have both improved the performance of energy efficiency technologies and lowered the costs. And so one of the things that's happened in Illinois, and this is particularly true on the electric side, but there's also somewhat on the gas side, is that whereas about 20 years ago, we had among the highest average bills in the Midwest and in the country, we now actually have the fifth lowest average electric bills in the country. And a large part of that is because of the energy efficiency investments that we've made in this state. Now, there's a lot more work that to be done, and I'm not suggesting that Illinois is affordable because there's still a lot of concerns. But all of our utilities in Ameren in central and southern Illinois and ComEd in northern Illinois have run energy efficiency programs, and they can give you incentives that are low or even no cost actions that will save the average homeowner quite a bit just through taking advantage of these programs and new technologies. And so that's the first thing that we recommend, is that people look into what programs are out there that can provide some assistance, and you can get some really good deals on energy efficiency lighting, like new LEDs or smart thermostats, or just simple things like sealing cracks around windows and doors can save you a surprising amount on your bills. So it isn't so much that you have to conserve or you know, wear a sweater, as what you need to do is just simply take advantage of new technologies that are out there. And especially with the passage of the Inflation Reduction Act, there's now a ton of incentives that are going into this space. And so these aren't magic bullets, especially in the short run, but we do think that there are good opportunities that are out there, and would encourage consumers to investigate them and take advantage of them. And if you go to our website at citizensutilityboard.org, we actually list all the programs that are available. It kind of is a good shortcut to check what you can take advantage of.
Yeah, I myself got one of those $100 rebates for putting in a smart thermostat a few years
right?
back.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Chip, we got a couple of questions along these lines. John in Springfield wanted to ask about alternatives such as heat pumps. He has a natural gas-fired forced air furnace right now. Similar question. I mentioned that message from Gene in Champaign, who said they are wearing sweaters and jackets around the house. Mm-hmm. They want to replace their furnace, but say with the cost being $10,000 to $15,000, they're not sure. Mm-hmm. What do you recommend in that?
So there are a number of measures that households and homeowners can take to lower their energy cost, both in the short term and in the long term. Of course, replacing old equipment, old heating or old air conditioning equipment is one of them. There are also low cost measures. The heating cost in your home is attributable to a number of factors. I mean, first of all, the weather. Second of all, the size of your home, right? There's not really much you can do about the size of your home, but also the insulation qualities of your home. And so there are fairly low cost measures that you can take even before you replace your equipment. You know, if you live in an older home, maybe one that's built before the 1970s, maybe has older windows, it's not as well built perhaps, you know, you can use caulk around windows and doors, and that's a fairly low cost measure. Additional insulation or better insulation in your attic is going to be a fairly low cost way, and you're going to see lower bills almost right away. When it comes to actually replacing your equipment, your listener is very true. It can be an expensive proposition. If you look at the extreme, the most bang for your buck is going to be if you have existing, say, electric baseboard heating or like an electric furnace. And some people in Illinois do have that situation. If you were to switch to a heat pump in that situation, of course, there's a payback period over a number of years. But in your first year, you may save as much as $1,000. Now, if you're replacing a natural gas heat pump, it depends on what your situation is, the size of your home, whether you would need any kind of backup. But you're certainly over the long term.
So I don't want to get too into the weeds, but I wondered if Illinois, I mean, it still gets to 14 below, 15 below at some parts, right, even colder here. Can a heat pump handle that?
Yes. So there are now cold weather heat pumps, cold climate heat pumps. So it used to be 15, 20 years ago, you did not see many heat pumps in cold climates. They just would not work when it got that cold, as you say, 14 degrees. It just would not work. But now there are cold climate heat pumps that can work down to single digit temperatures. So those are viable options in places like Illinois now.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the phones at 800-222-9455. Mary is on line 4 from Freeport, Illinois. Mary, thanks for calling in.
Hi. You know, if you think your house or bedroom is too cold at night, I've got a beagle, and I let him in my bed under the covers, and he is like a space heater. If you have a dog, just let him sleep with you.
Yeah, that's great. That's where that expression comes from, right? Three dog night,
because
when it would get very cold.
Yeah, as a beagle owner, I appreciate that advice. It works.
All right, thanks for that call, Mary. You know,
interesting. Brian,
go ahead.
I'll speak to. She mentions a secondary source of heat. So even though lots of homes in Illinois rely primarily on natural gas, many of them do use space heaters and electric space heaters are the most popular secondary form of heat in the United States.
Is that wise? You turn the heat down in the rest of the house and maybe have a space heater going in your bedroom or something like that?
I think probably depends on how much you use the space heater.
Yeah.
In a place like Illinois, if you're using it a lot, it's probably going to be pretty costly. But if you use it intermittently, you know, for a few hours a day or something, then I think that's probably it.
Interesting. I want to ask a little bit about some renewable energies. Obviously, Illinois is making a big push to phase out through the Climate and Equitable Jobs Act, known as CEJA, passed last year to phase out carbon emissions from the energy and transportation sectors, phase out fossil fuel-fired electrical generation. We're a huge nuclear power state. We got a text message from Denise in Moreau who says, my monthly level payment went from $275 a month to $488 a month. I'm retired. That's a huge part of my income. I would love to install solar panels, but I don't know where to turn so I wouldn't get ripped off. Plus, they're quite expensive. She also says her community is surrounded by windmills, but we do not benefit from it. So I guess there's like the macro question of the mix of energy in Illinois. And we also had an email from Tony who wanted to know how much energy we get from those windmills here in Illinois. And then also the individual question. So David, take it where you will.
Yeah, as you mentioned, the Climate and Equitable Jobs Act, or CEJA, that was passed, we are now transitioning to 100% clean electric grid here in the state. And we should actually be able to achieve that around 2030, maybe a little longer than that, because we are seeing significant cost declines in both solar and wind. And because of that, there's been a lot of development. One of the things I would encourage your listeners to do is, again, you can go to our website, citizensutilityboard.org, where we list all the available solar incentives that are out there. But particularly with the passage of CEJA and now the passage of the Inflation Reduction Act in Washington, D.C., solar is going to increasingly be affordable for consumers. And it's really just a matter now of navigating through the bureaucracy, which is not always easy, but to find the best options for you. So we do think that this is, a boom time for renewables in the state of Illinois. We've noticed as we've developed more renewables that overall electric costs have come down, which isn't to say they're as low as they need to be. But it is an exciting time because of a lot of these technological improvements that have both lowered the cost and improved the performance of renewable technologies.
And Chip, I wonder if you can comment on that sort of generation side. How much of our mix is coming from renewables and specifically wind now as compared with nuclear and coal-fired and our other more traditional?
In Illinois, half of electricity generation is nuclear. 20% is natural gas, I believe. And then about 20% is coal. Most of the renewables comes from wind, and I believe that's at about 7% right now. Another interesting fact that I looked up prior to the show was that, an interesting renewable fact is that Illinois was in 2021 was fifth in the list of states in terms of solar panel shipments. So there's definitely lots of interest in solar panels, be it, you know, utility scale or small scale, say on residential buildings.
Interesting. Dave, we're coming to the end of our time together. What does the future hold for energy bills as we are making this push into more renewable energy? Are we expecting to see costs go up, costs come down, stay the same?
Well, I mean, I think, a lot will depend, of course, on events that are some beyond our control. For example, the Russian invasion of Ukraine, which has put pressure on natural gas prices. I do think the overall trend has been encouraging. If you look at over the last 20 years, you know, we were among the highest cost states for electricity, and now we're among the lowest. And when we're building off a base of quite a bit of carbon-free nuclear energy, and we're expanding renewables, as Chip said, where it's about 10% now of our overall electric use or generation is from renewables. But that's expanding, particularly the solar aspect of this, at an exponential rate. So while I don't have a crystal ball, I do think that as long as the Climate and Equitable Jobs Act is implemented correctly, which we're confident will happen, then I do think that the future trends should be more toward the optimistic side. But that isn't a magic bullet in the short run. It's definitely shaping up to be a rough winter for consumers. And there's still a lot more that can be done. And, you know, our overall message here is that there are programs out there that can help. There are increasing incentives to adopt energy efficient technologies and renewable technologies. The cost of batteries is continuing to decline. All of these are very, very encouraging trends. And then when you look at our overall energy costs, increasingly it is the heating side of things, the natural gas side of things that is the biggest problem. And there are new programs that can help incent heat pumps. We are finding for an increasing number of Illinoisans, going the heat pump route is a great way to save on your overall energy costs. And so this is an exciting time, certainly in the short run, it's going to be difficult. And we would encourage folks to look at what programs are available and take advantage of them. And at the Citizens Utility Board, we can help you navigate that. That's kind of what we do.
David Collada is Executive Director of the Citizens Utility Board. We'll have a link to their website at our website, 21stshow.org. Also want to thank Chip Berry, Residential Energy Demand Team Lead from the U.S. Energy Information Administration. Chip and Dave, thanks so much for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Thank you.
That's all the time we have for our program. The 21st Show is produced by Christine Hatfield and Jose Zepeda. Our interns are Owen Henderson, Anaya Jones, and Zainab Qureshi. Technical direction and engineering from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.